You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program, Saturday, May 31st. As promised, we're going to be focusing on the recent elections to the EU in Europe this hour. Brad Griffin, editor of Occidental Dissent, another pro-South, pro-Christian, pro-white website, will be our guest to talk about the League of the South's billboard campaign, the Secede campaign. Looking forward to welcoming Brad to the show in about 30 minutes' time. But before we do that, Keith and I were talking during the commercial break, and he wanted to make one final comment on the Elliot Rodgers shooting story, which we covered in the first hour.
Let me just say this. Elliot Rodgers, when you look at it from, you know, the perspective of going over the entire social milieu that has given rise to Elliot Rodgers, is the poster child of liberalism and its broken promises. The sexual revolution promised a new world of sexual fulfillment. Instead, as Elliot Rodgers personified, what it has brought on is a new world of sexual frustration, profound sexual frustration that drove him into a murderous rage. This is because of masculinized women, feminized men, of which he was one, and the fact that they have difficulty attracting each other. You've seen a great rise in the numbers of homosexual, both men and women, that have arisen since the 1960s because of the sexual revolution. Furthermore, of the ones that are heterosexual, and there's still the vast majority, you have seen the rise of what Roger Devlin calls the alpha male culture, the culture in which basically Christian monogamy has been replaced by hypergamy, which is the mating habits of a baboon pack. Women are attracted to alpha males who are not the good Christian controlled alpha males of the 50s, reference Shane, the movie Shane, or Tammy and the Bachelor, the Leslie Nielsen character. Those are alpha males, but those are totally responsible, good men alpha males. On the other hand, you have people portrayed like American Gigolo in a movie over the past several decades. That's the new alpha male, and the alpha male of today leads a string of illegitimate children behind him, broken marriages, and heartbroken women. Meanwhile, men that try to act responsibly, like Shane or like the Leslie Nielsen character, are left heartbroken by women that leave them to pursue alpha males of the less moral sort, like the American Gigolo. So see, consequently, this is what liberalism has done to male-female relations. Is it any wonder that the white birth rate has plummeted over the past several decades, James?
Well, I agree with you to an extent in that liberalism can do that to male-female relationships if you allow it to. I won't consider myself to be, but I'll say that I've always operated with a sense of confidence with women and have never considered myself to be socially or sexually awkward. Anybody who's met my wife, obviously top shelf, a woman, very beautiful. I think you can be an alpha male or remain a leader of men in this day and age and be responsible. The two aren't incompatible, but perhaps not as much as it used to be.
Well, the society is no longer your friend. It doesn't support you with positive portrayals like those in Tammy and the Bachelor and Shane. Instead, it portrays a pathological type of woman and a pathological type of man who are predatory and have no sense of fidelity and responsibility, do not honor the institution of marriage, and quite frankly, somebody like you is beating the odds. You're not what liberalism intended you to be. You're not following all the cues and the whistles and the dog whistles of liberal culture, and particularly the liberal entertainment industry.
I guess that would go for all of our staff and certainly our audience as well, men and women alike. Let's go to the EU. What's happening in Europe? A couple of great articles if you want to immerse yourself and do a little research. Adrian Davis, who is a barrister in England, that's an attorney. Well, that's what they call attorneys over there, trial attorney. He wrote a great article about the European elections for American Renaissance. We will post to that on our website this week coming up. Also, Nathaniel Strickland, who writes for one of my favorite websites, faithandheritage.com, wrote a piece entitled Europe Votes and Cracks Appear in the EU's Foundation. I'll read a couple of paragraphs from that, and then we'll toss it over to Keith for commentary in the next segment. Nathaniel writes, the European Union had its eighth round of elections for the EU Parliament. Overall, the election was a great step forward for European nationalism, with nationalist parties making breakthroughs in multiple Western European countries and significant gains in many others. And by the way, a couple of days before Europe voted, Pat Buchanan predicted this, that Europe was returning to the right and it was going to show in the elections, and it sure did. To define some terms, nationalist refers to a party which supports a national identity and national borders, usually accompanied by socially conservative policies and anti-immigrant positions or anti-immigration positions. European nationalist parties come in both the civic nationalist and ethno-nationalist varieties. Euroskeptic refers to parties opposed to the continued centralization of power in the EU international government and its interference in national affairs, desiring instead to halt the centralization, undo its power grabs, or even leave the EU entirely. And so these are the kinds of parties that were picking up major advancements, winning seats, major seats, all across Europe. And Nathaniel goes into an extensive nation-by-nation breakdown of who won what. But I'll give you the condensed version for commercial radio. The good news, Strickland writes, is that these nationalist parties came in first place in Great Britain, Belgium, France, and Denmark, and in second place in Italy, Hungary, and Poland. In addition to these countries, nationalist parties scored in double-digit percentages in the Netherlands, Austria, Finland, Lithuania, and Latvia. So, in total, 12 of the 28 EU countries, including some of the biggest and most populous, had solid showings. Smaller gains were made in other countries as well. He goes on to write that it's interesting to note that a very strong correlation between the strength of the nationalist parties and the duration of a country in the EU. The four countries where nationalist parties came in first were all members back in 1973, while Slovakia, Slovenia, Bulgaria, and Romania, their nationalist parties did poorly and did not win and even lost seats. They were all added to the EU in much more recent years. This is a clear indication that rule by unelected bureaucrats and the institutionalization of cultural Marxism, petty regulation tyranny, and mass immigration, far from ending nationalism, encouraging economic growth and creating a social paradise, as they claimed, are generating a nationalist revolt and a financial collapse. So basically, Keith, what we see here, in essence, and I would encourage you to read that for yourself, folks, and really digest it. Also, Adrian Davis's piece for American Renaissance. What you see here is in Europe, spanning the length and width of it, as I said, from Hungary to Great Britain, from Finland down to Greece, these parties and these candidates were winning and winning big in the national elections this week. Perhaps it was largely symbolic, but if these results can be carried over and implemented in various national elections, then you could see perhaps the beginning of a very real change in Europe and viable nationalist parties taking control once again in their mother countries. We're going to take a break and then give it to Keith, and he's going to break down his thoughts on it right after these words from our sponsor.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free Vigor Score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Welcome back, folks. Commenting now briefly on the rise of the right in the European EU elections. And as I was saying before the break, I'm excited about this. You always want to be sure to be tempered in your response to anything. Never get too high or too low, because most of the time things are never as good or as bad as they appear. And I'm just going to say that in country after country, as we've seen here, voters are increasingly beginning to favor nationalist parties. That's a good thing. Now, I can't say that all of these parties are the genuine article and that each of the people who were elected claiming to be pro-white, pro-nation, pro-whatever, are the real McCoy or can be trusted to hold the line. But what is encouraging is that these people believe that they voted for people and parties and candidates like that. They believe that they are voting for an alternative to the globalist establishment, and they're turning out in support. And these parties really ran pretty in-your-face campaigns. They didn't hide their candle under a bushel. It wasn't like a lot of these Tea Party wimps that we saw here in America who spent basically their entire activism trying to claim that they weren't racist. These parties were pretty not in your face, but clear about what they believe. So it's wonderful to see free-thinking and rational people beginning to make decisions for themselves for a change and totally disregarding the anti-white media bias. And as we talked about at lunch, Keith, over here, you don't have a free political system, or as you have over there, where you have multiple competing parties and everybody gets a piece of the pie so long as you get a percentage of the vote, a tangible percentage of the vote. Here you have to, it's all or nothing. You get 49% of the vote and not send a person to represent you, because we don't have that type of system. But over there, they do have more restrictive and repressive laws with regards to freedom of speech, and they're having a renaissance. They're waking up and awakening. What they can do could happen here.
Well, let me say, like the Bible says, a city built on a hill cannot be hidden, and that a man does not light a candle in order to put it under a bucket, but to put it on a lampstand to shine light throughout the entire house. That's what these parties have done. Now, I, like you, would be more heartened if they actually were wielding sovereign power. Right now, they're more like Thomas Jefferson's famous comment about a fire bell in the night to the establishment parties in Europe. These parties haven't seize power. They're not in control of any European government, and they're certainly not in control of the European Union, which, of course, is a globalist manifestation. These regional governments like the European Union or the North American Free Trade Association are halfway houses on the way to globalism, which, as we've stated time and again on this program, is the real end game of liberalism. If you want to know what liberalism is doing it for, what they hope to accomplish, globalism, that's the word. That's what they're trying to accomplish. And globalism is another word for tyranny. If you think that your vote and your voice count for nothing in a national election, imagine how little it would count in a global election. A global election would be a sham by its very definition, and it would be an invitation for tyrannical rule. Now, what's happened in Europe is that there is massive discontent with the liberalism that is represented by the European Union and by the typical socialist-leaning governments of Western Europe in particular. And you're seeing people revolting at the polls about this. Now, how far that will go, whether they'll be allowed to voice their displeasure and actually wield sovereign power, that is the key, whether they will actually make a difference, whether instead it will be, as it's often said, when all is said and done, more done. We hope not. We hope this is the beginning of something. This could be the start of something big. It was a popular song back in the 1940s and 50s, and I think this may be the start of something big in Europe. And I hope we catch the virus over here in America and that we have a truly populist renaissance in America where we either take over the Republican Party or create a new party that gives voice to the populist instincts of the vast majority of the American electorate.
Well, I think you'd be foolish not to be encouraged by what's going on over here. You know, certainly, Keith, as you mentioned, you know, you can choose what level of faith to invest over there, yes, in Europe, in it. But, you know, something so widespread, spanning from one end of the mother continent to the other, is not an aberration. Will it be sustained? It's a trend, and we would like to see this begin to manifest itself in the national elections as well. As you mentioned, I think that it can. And in fact, we ran an article on our website a couple of weeks ago at thepoliticalcesspool.org during which some of these nationalist candidates were elected to be mayors in different cities in France. So you're seeing it in the EU apparatus. You're also seeing it in the municipalities. And where it happened in France, Keith, and we ran this story, a lot of things happened right after these pro-French mayors went into office, these nationalist mayors. There were new mosques being constructed in one particular town in France. That was halted on a dime. EU flags were taken down. Another slavery memorial. Yes, folks, slavery was bad, but, you know, come on, let's be consistent here and look at the whole picture. Everybody suffered from it. And whites are still suffering from it. But listen, they halted a slavery memorial thing, which had little to do with memorializing slavery, more about just instilling white guilt in the hearts of the citizenry there. That was halted. These are all good things. And do I have a problem with Muslims? You know, I don't want to see any harm done to them, but I don't want to live around them either. I think there's a place for everybody in this world, and people are better off when you have totally different outlooks on life, and you know that there's going to be friction and conflict if you put in the same living space. People are better off in their own places. We can respect that diversity from afar. But anyway, Keith, you see it in the EU. You see it in these towns in France that we've drawn and used as an example. Hopefully it will continue. Pat Buchanan predicted that it would, and hopefully it will continue.
Well, we need to maintain diversity. Not just racial diversity, not just gender diversity, but the most true manifestation of diversity, which is diversity of opinion and diversity of outlook and diversity of religion. There is an assault going on against the Western Christian part of the world. you don't see this same pressure to accept immigrants from totally different backgrounds being foisted upon the Japanese, for example, or the Chinese, or sub-Saharan Africa, or any or Latin America, any other part of the world. The only part of the world where diversity is supposed to be our greatest strength, and we're supposed to accept all sorts of strangers from all over the world, would be in Western nations with a majority of European-descended citizens. That's, unfortunately, the truth of the matter. There is a double standard, and we're going to have to insist upon equal treatment. If it's good for Japan, why isn't it good for America? If it's good for China, why isn't it good for Europe? We need to ask those questions, and we are not going to get satisfactory answers from them, at least answers that would be satisfactory to the left. They insist upon foisting a double standard on us, and we're going to have to throw off the yoke.
Excellent points, Keith, as always. And I might add, folks, that while sensible and free-thinking people in Europe were sending people that would actually represent them to governing bodies, here in the United States this week, our United States Senate, 50 of the senators, half of them, sent a letter in to the Washington Redskins asking them to change the name because it offended Indians. I mean, you know, so I don't expect much from the Senate, but when you're dealing with tabloid fodder, I mean, that's just ridiculous. That's what our elected representatives are doing this week, complaining about the Redskins. We got to take a break. Hunter Wallace is our guest when we come back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, we're at the halfway point of tonight's live broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the show. James Edwards here with you. Keith Alexander, we thank him and salute him for his service tonight. He will be taking the rest of the evening off as we shift to our featured guest of the night, but still forthcoming. A little later on, Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be in during the third hour. He always bats cleanup. He's the closer. He'll be co-hosting the show with me. And we're going to tell you about why he is the Bombardier. Longtime listeners and fans of this show have come to know Eddie's distinct personality, and we're going to give you a behind-the-scenes look at what makes Eddie, Eddie. But first, certainly my privilege to welcome to the show Brad Griffin, who is the founding editor of one of my favorite websites, Occidental Descent, OD. It's OccidentalDescent.com. I go there, if not every day, at least two or three times a week, and it's not beneath me to hijack some of Brad's intellectual capital and repost it to my website from time to time. But he covers all the news that we do, folks, from a pro-South, pro-white, pro-independence point of view, and of course, he does it with good taste and humor and professionalism. Brad, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, James.
It's been a long time coming. I was thinking about it today. We had a spot opened up. We had Mike Hill on during our annual Confederate History Month series that we've been doing for 10 years now. And I thought
about having Mike on. Yeah, I saw that. I think we were wrapped up with, I think it was the weekend of the Amarin Conference, wasn't it? Or it was recently.
Yeah, he was on, I believe it was in April, and we try to have him on once a year, if not more. And when I saw the League of the South's secede billboard so-called controversy or manufactured controversy, I was thinking about having Mike back on, and I sent a email and put in a call to him at the very last minute last week, and we didn't have time to arrange that. But then I thought, well, let's have Brad on, because you've been on the forefront of this as well, and you've been in the streets with Mike and the other good people of the League of the South. So why don't you just take it from the beginning and tell us about the secede billboard. I believe the first one was put up in Tallahassee and received a lot of fanfare, and you can fill in the blanks from there.
Okay, yeah, that's right. We put up the first billboard in Tallahassee, and I believe that was in February, and it was up for about 2 months without incident. There were people who complained about it, and it sparked a little controversy down there. You had the Tallahassee Democrat wrote a nasty article about it, and also the Florida Chamber of Commerce put up their own succeed billboard in order to counter the league's billboard. But their billboard was up for about 2 months, and of course we decided that we were going to, it had already been up there, so we were going to transfer it to another state, and we decided we'd put it up in Montgomery, Alabama. Well, the league used the same people they had used in Tallahassee, which was Lamar Advertising. And the billboard went up, and I went across town and made a video of it. And everything was good, and it wasn't up for about 24 hours before Dr. Hill got an email saying they were going to take it down. And sure enough, it went up Friday and was down by Sunday, and they were wrangling with them on that for a while, and they had the lawyer look at the contract, and the contract said that they could take it down for any reason. But anyway, the billboard actually kind of accomplished its purpose. There was statewide media coverage of it for a whole weekend. I think AL.com wrote about three or four stories about it. And the Montgomery Advertiser denounced the league, and the Anniston Star did. And then the Associated Press wrote an article about it, and that got picked up on the Drudge Report. So that story was sent out all across the nation. And the billboard ended up getting a lot more publicity than it otherwise would have, just because it was taken down and it became a free speech issue then. And then that's where we're at today with that.
Well, a couple of things about it. First of all, congratulations to you and the league. for the success of these secede billboards. And to paint a picture, folks, if you haven't seen what these billboards look like, it's black lettering with a white background, and in huge font is just the word secede, S-E-C-E-D-E. We all know what that's about. Secede, underneath that in the smaller type, you read the League of the South, and then dixienet.org, which is, of course, the internet headquarters of the League. And the League is a pro-Southern organization. Certainly, those should be allowed to exist. And as we talk about all the time, if you are a member of another ethnic group or another racial group or even a member of a perverted sexual orientation group, you have groups that are allowed to exist to advance your interest, your unique group interest, and they're not only allowed to do so but celebrated. But if you try to be pro-white, pro-South, or even increasingly pro-Christian now, you're going to be met with all sorts of flack. Well, there's nothing untoward at all about the League. It's a great organization. It's a fine organization. And so they put these billboards up. And I might add as well, that's a notion that should certainly be on the table. You know, increasingly, as we see an out-of-control federal government where the power now lies in the judiciary. I mean, you know, you're talking about complete rogues where constitutional bounds are ignored and violated on nearly a daily basis now in this country. Secession should definitely be an option for adults to debate. And you see it happening more and more. I think that the pulse of secession is beginning to beat again, or the heartbeat is beginning to revive itself. You see what's happening in Scotland, and of course in Europe, this is just, you know, it happens all the time. And certainly throughout European history, it did.
Yeah, I was going to add, I should have added to that, that the billboard, it was taken down and the League got their money back. And it's going to go back up again soon, I believe, in Montgomery. The reason it hasn't gone back up yet is because they're looking at an even bigger billboard. And in order to put it up, I believe they'd have to have the vinyl or whatever the secede is written on remade to make it larger. So. We're thinking. It's going to go right back up again with a different billboard company. And if it's not going to be put up in Montgomery, it'll be put up in somewhere like Birmingham. And of course, they have another one that's going to be put up in Atlanta. And of course, this going back to the evolution of how we got to the just huge black letters that said "Secede." There had been two previous billboards. There had been one in South Georgia near Tifton, and it said "Get off the USS Titanic" or something. But that was kind of abstract, and it didn't get the amount of media attention that some of us wanted. And then a friend of mine, somebody named Jack Ryan, when we had the protest up in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, he put up a billboard attacking Donnie Smith, who's the CEO of Tyson Foods, over how they have all the illegal aliens working at the chicken plant in Shelbyville.
Right, yeah, sure.
Well, there was just It was just too much information on the billboard, and it didn't really get much of a. It wasn't we got the impression that the billboards we were putting up weren't provocative enough. So we thought, you know, what would be more provocative than just say in huge black letters, having "Secede" right there? And the one in Florida was actually within eyeshot of the Florida State Capitol, and this one in Montgomery was about as close to the Alabama State Capitol as we could get. But anyway, the second billboard we did put up, it got a lot more publicity than the first one did, and it was taken down. But it's going to go back up again soon, and I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how they deal with that, because when it goes back up again, we don't think it's going to be taken down the second time.
Well, and again, I admire the tenacity and the initiative of the League in doing that. I was excited to read about it in its first incarnation in Tallahassee, and then even though it was taken down in Montgomery, the fact that you got so much media attention, perhaps much more media attention than you would have received had it remained, was certainly another boon. And it just puts this idea back into the hearts and minds of people, and it's one that should be debated in the court of public opinion. As I mentioned in my commentary, increasingly now, as you see our federal government, judiciary, and entertainment working but frankly, for everyone but our people. And, you know, I thought, though, Brad, that this was what the civil rights movement was really all about. Now, I don't have a problem with equal rights for all and special privileges for none, but what really came of the civil rights movement was that the races traded places. And now you have, of course, reverse racist practices, if you want to use that term, of affirmative action set-asides and quotas, which reward blacks for no other reason than the color of their skin. And when it comes to hirings and scholarships and so on and so forth, it's not merit-based. But another thing that came from the civil rights movement was that it forced people to do business with those with whom they would rather not. It took away the freedom of association, the freedom of private property rights, and so on and so forth. So, you know, I have a hard time believing, and I say all that to say this, that had this been an NAACP, we're not even that. I mean, it just anything that had been pro-black, in essence. And if everybody in the state had complained, that it would have ever been taken down. Is that something that's crossed your mind?
Oh, yeah. This NAACP had put up a billboard. There's no doubt. That it would still be a thing. I want to say the American Atheist or something put up a billboard with Lamar somewhere.
Brad, I hate to interrupt you. We got to take a break. We'll be back, and I'm going to let you finish your thought. We got another segment with you right after this.
Back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. James Edwards with our featured guest for tonight, Brad Griffin, also known as Hunter Wallace, I guess, with OccidentalDescent.com. And OccidentalDescent.com is the website. And we're talking about the League of the South secede billboards, which I think were very well done and certainly something that would spark a debate. And I'll say this, Brad, I was saying before the break, I thought that the actual purpose of the civil rights movement was to abolish private property rights and freedom of association and forcing businesses to do work with whomever, whether or not they wanted to or not. But of course, those rights don't transcend or trickle down to white Southerners, apparently. And we've seen it even with hotels. Hotels canceling legal binding contracts with groups like American Renaissance, who are of the most polished and intellectual capacity you could find, just because they don't like their ideas. We've traded places with the folks that they claim to represent. But I doubt that the billboard got very many complaints at all. I really do. I think the people who would complain about it don't even know the meaning of the word secede, nor would they have the wherewithal to know how to file a complaint. This was a media manufactured thing. Maybe a few white liberals complained about it. I don't think a lot. And I know you were making an example of truly obscene billboards that are up and there's no problem at all. Apparently either people don't complain or if they do, it just falls on deaf ears. And I was actually in Florida recently and driving down the Florida Turnpike from Ocala to Orlando on that major thoroughfare that families drive to take their kids to Disney World. You'll see dozens in an 80-mile stretch, dozens of billboards advertising whorehouses and sex shops and abortion clinics. You know, and people aren't complaining about that. I think that they are, but it just doesn't matter because those are all ideas that the left likes. But take it away, Brad.
Well, Lamar said that the reason they had to take it down is because some of their customers had complained and they wouldn't do business with Lamar again if the billboard didn't go down. But we've had some of our people go out around Montgomery, and it looks like Lamar owns about 90% of the billboards in the Montgomery area. So it makes you wonder if these people really did follow through on their threat and stop doing business with Lamar, where would they go? We think it taking the billboard down was just a political, pure and simple. We think someone pressured them into taking it down, maybe the Southern Poverty Law Center, which, in fact, that was one reason we put the billboard where we did, because it was pretty much as close as you can get to their headquarters. And you were getting into about how the civil rights movement forces, you know, business owners to do stuff that is against their conscience. And right before I came on the program, James, I was looking through Facebook, and there's a new story out in Colorado where this guy who bakes wedding cakes is forced to close his business because the state of Colorado, well, the courts there, are forcing him to make wedding cakes for same-sex couples. And even though I think gay marriage is even outlawed in California, but even the courts and the Civil Rights Commission told him that it doesn't matter, you know, what his religious beliefs are. He is going to be forced to participate in making wedding cakes for same-sex marriages.
We've covered that very story on this show, absolutely. And again, you could just draw a compare and contrast to the blatant and flagrant and egregious double standards and hypocrisies that the left has no problem employing.
Oh, definitely. And just two other stories that come to mind. One, I heard that Medicare is going to start covering sex change operations for transsexuals, and I think Obama is going to spend millions of dollars to create national monuments to LGBT people, so we can have like national parks that celebrate transsexuals and stuff like that. That's the kind of direction we're going to. And even another example, the news today is that The restrooms down in Houston, Texas, have been desegregated by the lesbian mayor there. So now men can go in the women's restroom and women can go in the men's restroom. I mean, that's just an example of the slippery slope we've been going down ever since the civil rights movement.
It's not your grandma and grandpa's desegregation anymore. Now you're talking about men and women going into the same bathrooms because, you know, we're all one human family. But, you know, Brad, I'm glad you went into a couple of those other examples because it just proves the point why the idea or topic of secession should be considered. It is not, you know, you will have a few elected representatives in a place like Houston, where it's very diverse, for lack of a better word, that'll come up with these harebrained ideas, these disgusting, perverted ideas. But all in all, it's the federal government and the controlled media that is ramrodding this kind of stuff down the throats of an unwilling public. If, and this is an idea that'll send me to bed with sweet dreams tonight, if you could get the old Confederacy and, say, a few of the solid states in the Midwest, like Oklahoma and Utah, maybe a couple of others, to secede and form its own nation, it would be, I'm not going to say you're going to roll everything back to the way it should be, but it would be so much more healthy, and it would be completely alien to the Washington, D.C., New York City, Los Angeles, California, America that we see now.
Mm-hmm. Out in Oklahoma, they're having to erect a monument to Satan, I'm told, because the New York-based Satanic Temple is demanding to be represented on the grounds of the Oklahoma the State House. And that goes exactly what you were saying about how much easier it would be to reform the system if we could just split off and have the South and a bunch of the other conservative states in the Midwest and the Rocky Mountain West. We've seen this multiple times. You know, same-sex marriage was banned in Alabama. It's banned in every southern state, in fact. Even banned at the level of state constitutions.
And that happened here in Tennessee as well, yes.
Yeah, in Alabama, we passed the immigration law, and that's what we find. You know, every time, and here's another example. There's something called the Alabama Accountability Act, which was the next big thing the Alabama state legislature did after the immigration law, and that was recently struck down too by another judge. So it's just got to the point where we have these state legislatures, and they try to pass laws that are popular that the people want. And everything they do is just thrown out by the courts.
Right.
And, I mean, we should just let the federal courts why even have state legislatures when federal judges decided they're going to make all the laws themselves?
Well, and we did a big series on it the last couple of weeks in honor or dishonor of the ominous anniversary of the Brown versus Board of Education decision, which was, of course, the Supreme Court case where the precedent was set that you could completely overrule state law, completely overrule the will of the voting public, and just have judges write the law for them. And that's where it started in 1954, and we see it now happening nearly on a monthly basis, if not more often, especially with regards to the so-called homosexual marriage crusade they do. I love it when a homosexual judge overturns a constitutional ban on homosexual marriage because he wants to, not because it's rooted in any law. But yeah, so you have that kind of stuff going on. Why wouldn't you consider breaking away from a completely corrupt and illegitimate government such as that? And, you know, it's not the state governments in Tennessee and Alabama that are doing these things. It's judges, and the state is left with absolutely no recourse. You're right. Why elect anybody? Why not just leave it all to the courts? Because that's what you got now.
Yeah, even small things like having, I believe the state of Florida passed a law that required drug tests for welfare benefits. Even small things like that, the courts just threw that totally out the window. It's really gotten to the point where there's really nothing else we can do but secede. I mean, every time we try to pass any law at the state level, it's going to be thrown out by a judge. And because white Southerners are a permanent minority in the United States, and especially as the demographics change, we're always going to be the minority. And life is just going to get worse and worse and worse unless we secede.
Well, and you can be proud of anything that you are. And listen, I don't hate anybody. I don't have a problem with, I have a problem with these people forcing their perverted sense of morality, or immorality as it truly is, on my people. But, you know, I don't want to see any harm befall them. I just don't want to live around them. I don't want them here. I don't want them pushing that on my daughter and on a Christian in Southern society that it's not in the mood for it. So we need to separate. It needs to happen. And, you know, we'll hold out hope that it can happen. But thankfully, organizations like the League of the South are out there and at least putting it in the court of public opinion so that there's a debate. I mean, certainly you can be proud of anything and everything that you are except, a Christian, a Southerner, a white person. If you're proud of that or you're a member of an organization that seeks to safeguard those interests, then you're going to take some heat from the media. But that's okay because the price suffering the relative indignities of being called names that aren't truly applicable, as I say so often, certainly pales in comparison to the sacrifices of blood and bone that our ancestors invested to give us this country that we see falling and fading away. Brad, it's gone by far too quickly. I want to certainly give you the opportunity to plug your magnificent website, which again, folks, is among my near daily reads. And if you like the political cesspool, you'll love Occidental Dissent. So what is it, Brad?
It is www.occidentaldissent.com, and we are pro-white, pro-South, and pro-independence. And we support both organizations, the Council of Conservative Citizens. You know Gordon, he's my father-in-law.
Yes.
And the League of the South. So
it's a nice synthesis going on there, and Brad will certainly at Occidental Dissent be keeping you up to date on the League of the South Secede Billboard Initiative. We will too, and we look forward to having Brad back on. If any of your listeners tuned in late, of course, after the fact, about an hour after this show is done, they can catch this archive, interview in the archives, rather, at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Thank you, buddy, and God bless.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.